الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: نظر الله امرأ سمع مقالتي فحفظها وأداها كما سمعها. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: حدثوا عني ولا حرج. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have brought with me today a book of hadith. The name of this book is Sahih al-Bukhari. It is our belief, the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that this is the most authentic book after the Quran. This is the most authentic book of hadith there is. However, this does not mean that this is the only book of hadith. Nor does it mean that this is the only book containing authentic hadith. As there are many books of hadith, and there are many books which only contain authentic ahadith, sahih ahadith. Sahih Muslim is a book of hadith. Abu Dawud is a book of hadith. Tirmizi is a book of hadith. Nasai, Ibn Majah, Al-Mustadrak lil-Hakim, Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih Ibn Sakat, Sahih Abi Awana, Al-Mukhtara lil-Riya' al-Maqdisi, موتى مالك، موتى محمد، مسند أحمد، مسند أبو داود الطيالسي، مسند الحميدي. To name just a few. The question I put forward today is: how did the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches in the form of Sahih al-Bukhari? How were the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam preserved? And what are the different stages the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go through before they reaches in this form, in the form of a book? However, I'm sure you would agree, it is pointless talking about the history of hadith when one does not even know what the word hadith means. What is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And why do we Muslims need the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If one does not even know these two basic things, it is pointless talking about the history of hadith. This is why, though the talk should be on the history of hadith, we will begin by learning what the word hadith means and why, as Muslims, we need the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, inshaAllah, we will begin the talk, the history of hadith, covering the two factors which helped to preserve the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which helped to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the three methods which were actually used to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us begin with the word hadith. Open the Arabic dictionary and you will find that the word hadith means conversation, story, communication. However, in Islam, a hadith can be any of four things. The masters of a hadith, the muhaddithin, define a hadith as being ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول 1 أو فعل 2 أو تقرير 3 أو صفة 4 1 anything related, any saying related to the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is a hadith. 2 any action related to the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is also a hadith. 3 any taqreer, any confirmation related to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a hadith. 4 any report containing any of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sifat, features, character is also known as a hadith. A hadith can be any of four things: any saying, any action, any confirmation related to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and any report containing any of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's features is known as hadith. Let me put this in simple words for you. A hadith can be any of four things. ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول 1 any saying related to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is a hadith. Any report containing any of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying is a hadith. For example, it is related that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The actions are according to intentions. This is a hadith. Why? Because it's something the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. It is a saying of Rasulullah. It is a report containing a saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, it is related that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تصبوا أصحابي. Do not rebuke my companions. This is a hadith. Why? Because it is a saying of Rasulullah. It is something our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. It is a report containing a saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 2. ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من فعل. Any saying related to our beloved, any action related to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a hadith. Whatever our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, any report containing any of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's actions is also a hadith. Let me give you an example. It is related that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the morning prayer, before Fajr, would read two rakat namaz sunnah. This is a hadith. Why? Because it is something Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He performed two rakat namaz. It is a report containing an action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 3. ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صفة. Any report containing any of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sifat, features, character is also known as hadith. For example, it is related that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of average height. It is related that he was kind and gentle. It is related that his face was more beautiful than the moon on the 14th night. These are all ahadith because they are reports containing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sifat, features and character. Three, now four. ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تقرير. Any تقرير, any confirmation related to the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also comes under the definition of hadith, also comes under the definition of sunnah. Now the nearest English translation to the word تقرير is confirmation. However, the word taqreer means slightly more than confirmation. The word taqreer means somebody said something or somebody did something. Somebody said or did something, and whatever this person said or did, it came to the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out what this person said or what this person did. Thereafter, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either confirmed what this person said or did in expressed words, by expressing words, or either the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't confirm what this person did in expressed words, but when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out what this person said or did, he remained silent. He remained silent without giving any indication of disapproval. This silence is also an indirect approval, as if this thing this person said or did was not permissible, then our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have remained silent. And this is taqreer, and this comes under the definition of a hadith. Anybody said or did something, whatever this person said or did came to the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out whatever this person said or did, he either confirmed it in express words that this thing is permissible or it is not permissible, or either the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't confirm it in express words but remained silent when he found out whatever this person said or did without giving any indication of disapproval. This silence is also an indirect approval, as if this thing was not permissible, then our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have remained silent, and this is known as taqreer. So a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be any of four things: whatever our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whatever he did, any confirmation related to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and any report containing any of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sifat, any of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's features and character. Now that we know what is a hadith, why as Muslims do we need the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The answer to this is very simple. Let me give you a very simple answer. We need a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it is impossible to act upon the basic commands of the Quran without the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is impossible to act upon the basic commands of deen, the basic things, the things that are considered basic in deen. It is impossible to do these things without the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me give you a few examples. After the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the most important pillar in Islam is salah, namaz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has ordered us believers more than 73 times to observe salah. Time after time the Quran says aqimu salah, observe salah, offer your prayers. Aqimu salah, observe your prayers, is the constant theme of the Quran. However, open the Quran and begin to recite the Quran from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and keep on reciting the Quran till the last verse min al-jinnati wa nas, and you will not come across a single verse in the Quran. There is not a single verse in the entire Quran which explains how to observe salah. Nor a single verse in the Quran tells us how to perform salah, though the Quran itself has ordered the believers more than 73 times to observe it. Read the Quran from the beginning till the end, and you will not find a single verse which tells you how many prayers we should offer in one day. Nor does the Quran tell us the times we should offer these prayers. Nor does the Quran tell us that in the morning prayer we should read 2 rakat farz, in Zuhr 4, in Asr 4, in Maghrib 3, and in Isha 4. Not a single verse of the Quran tells us this. Nor does the Quran tell us what we should recite in Salah. The Quran does not tell us what we should recite when we are standing, what we should recite when we are in ruku, what we should recite when we are in sajda. Nor does the Quran tell us what is farz inside Salah, what is masnoon inside Salah, what is wajib inside Salah, what is mustahab inside Salah. Nor does the Quran tell us what breaks Salah. The answers to all these questions and much more are in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who practically demonstrated and showed the believers how to perform Salah. It is our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who taught us that there are 5 prayers compulsory on every believer. It is our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who taught us the times we should offer these prayers. It is he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who taught us what breaks Salah. It is he who taught us everything regarding Salah. My brothers and sisters, if we did not have the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then no believer, it would not have been possible for any believer to act upon this basic command of Quran, Aqeemu Salah, to observe your prayers, offer your prayers. Let me give you another example. Zakat is one of the pillars of Islam, a very important pillar, a basic of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over 30 times in the Quran has said, وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, pay your zakah. But if you read the Quran from the beginning till the end, you will not find a single verse which explains what the word zakat means. Nor does the Quran tell us who is liable to pay zakat. Nor does the Quran tell us who is exempted from paying zakat. Nor does the Quran tell us what rate you should pay zakat. Nor does the Quran tell us what assets are liable for zakat. Nor does the Quran tell us what assets are exempted from zakat. A basic of deen, without the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a believer will not be able to act upon this basic command of the Quran. Shabib ibn Abi Fudala narrates, كأن إمران بن حسين ذكر الشفاعة. That Imran ibn Hussein once related a hadith regarding shafa'ah, regarding intercession. Those amongst the audience, one from amongst them stood up and said, يا أبا نجيد, إنكم تحدثون بأحاديث لم نجد لها أصلا في القرآن. Oh Abu Najid, you are relating hadith regarding which there is no asr in the Quran. There is no verse relating to this in the Quran. You are relating such a hadith. Imran ibn Hussein became very angry and he said to him, قرأتوا القرآن? Have you read the Quran? He said, yes. He said, tell me, where does it say in the Quran that in the morning prayer you have to read 2 rakat farz? Tell me where it says in the Quran that in Zuhr you have to read 4, in Asr 4, in Maghrib 3, and Isha 4. He said, it is not inside the Quran. He said, فَأَمَّنْ أَخَذْتُمْ ذَلِكَ? Where did you learn this from? Who do you take this from? أَلَسْتُمْ أَنَّا أَخَذْتُمُوهُ وَأَخَذْنَاهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ? Did you not learn this from us? Did you not take this from us? And we took it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me, where does it say in the Quran that if somebody possesses sheep, he has to give a certain amount in zakat? Where does it say in the Quran that if somebody possesses camels, he has to give this much in zakat? فَأَمَّنْ أَخَذْتُمْ ذَلِكَ? Who did you take this from? أَلَسْتُمْ أَنَّا أَخَذْتُمُوهُ وَأَخَذْنَاهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ? Did you not learn this from us and we learned it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Tell me, the Quran says, وَلْيَتَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. Or believers make the waf around the Kaaba. Where does it say in the Quran that go around 7 times? Where does it say in the Quran that begin from Hajri Aswad, the black stone? Where does it say in the Quran that once you've completed the tawaf, read two rakat behind the place of Ibrahim, behind Maqam Ibrahim? Have you not heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنُّ فَانْتَهُ? Whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he prohibits, refrain from it. So my brothers and sisters, the reason we need the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is basically we cannot act upon the basic commands of the Quran without the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, لا يمكن فهم القرآن بدونه. It is not possible to understand the Quran as it should be understood, or the meanings intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's explanation. Let me give you one or two examples. The Arabs at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though they were illiterate, they had the command of their language and literature. Their eloquent speeches and their poetry clearly prove this. In spite of this, the Arabs could not understand the meanings intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the verse أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ was revealed, that those who believe and they have not mixed any zulm inside their iman, they are the guided ones, they are on the sirati mustaqim, for them is peace. When this verse of the Quran was revealed, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een took the literal meaning of this verse. They took the word zulm as meaning wrong. Thus, they took the meaning of this verse as being, those who believe and thereafter have never done any wrong, they are the guided ones, they are on the sirati mustaqim, and for them is peace. This is the meaning of the verse they took. When this verse was revealed, they became very worried. As who from amongst them has never done any wrong from the day he's embraced Islam? Thus they saw that they were not the guided ones. They were not on the sirati mustaqim because of this verse. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, the verse, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, those who believe and have not done any wrong after belief, they are the guided ones, they are the sirati mustaqim. Ya Rasulullah, this verse has just been revealed. أَيُّنَا لَا يَزْلِمْ, but Ya Rasulullah, from who amongst us has never done any wrong? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een that this is not the meaning of the verse. The word zulm inside this verse does not mean wrong. The verse zulm inside this verse means shirk, making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus the meaning of the verse is, those who believe and after bringing iman, they never made partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were pure in their iman. Their belief was pure. They are the guided ones, and they are on the sirati mustaqim, and peace is for these people. Let me give you another example. The verse, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. This verse tells us when the fast begins, and when it is unlawful to eat and drink and do all the things that break the fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, eat and drink as much as you please during the night. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَصْوَدِ, till the white thread becomes distinct from the black one. When this verse of the Quran was revealed, some of the Sahaba yet again took the literal meaning of this verse. As Ibn Hatim relates, that when this verse of the Quran was revealed, I took two threads, a black one and a white one, and I placed them under my pillow. And I kept on watching these threads and waiting for the white to become distinct from the black. He says, all night I waited, but the white never became distinct from the black. Puzzled, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and related the incident to him. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him, O Adi, the meaning of this verse is not as you have taken it. The whiteness, the white thread referred to in the verse of the Quran is the whiteness of the morning, dawn. And the blackness, The black thread referred to in the Quran is the blackness of the night. Meaning that you can eat and drink as much as you please during the night. But at dawn, this is the time when fast begins. And after this, it is not permissible to eat and drink and do anything that breaks the fast. So my brothers and sisters, we need the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A, because it is impossible to act upon the basics of the Quran without the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And secondly, it is impossible to understand the Quran as it should be understood, or the meanings intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us now begin with the history of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two factors helped to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while three methods were actually used to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first factor which helped to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the love the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een and their successors had for the Sunnah, had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that the Quran cannot be understood without the Sunnah, cannot be understood without the Ahadith, knowing that one cannot act upon the basic commands of the Quran without the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een and their successors sacrificed each and everything they possessed to acquire the knowledge of Ahadith, to acquire this blessing knowledge, and this is the first factor which helps to preserve the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the day he embraced Islam till the day our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, Abu Huraira made it his life aim and sole objective to stay in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and acquire this blessed knowledge. Wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled, Abu Huraira traveled. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for jihad, Abu Huraira went for jihad. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for hajj, Abu Huraira went for hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for umrah, Abu Huraira went for umrah. Wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, observing his sunnah and recording the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, because he had made it his life aim objective to acquire this blessed knowledge, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu had no time to work. He had no means of livelihood. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, because of this, days would pass and Abu Huraira would not have a bite to eat. Abu Huraira says, Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu, I swear by Allah, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Huraira still remembers, Inni kuntu la'atamidu ala al-ardi bikabidi min al-jew, wa ashuddu al-hajra ala batni. Due to hunger, Abu Huraira would hold his liver, Abu Huraira would hold his stomach, he would rest on the earth, and due to hunger, he would put stones, tie stones onto his stomach. He says, I still remember the time, لَكَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي أَصْرَعُ بَيْنَ مِمَّرِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَحُجْرَةِ عَائِشَةَ فَيُقَالَ مَجْنُونَ. Abu Huraira still remembers the time when Abu Huraira would faint between the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Uzzat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's room. People on seeing Abu Huraira, they would say, Majnoon, Abu Huraira has become insane, Abu Huraira has become a madman. Oh people, ma bi junoon in here illa al-jew. Abu Huraira did not faint because he was insane. Abu Huraira had not become a madman. Abu Huraira had made it his life's aim and sole objective to acquire this blessed knowledge. Thus he stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time. He had no means of livelihood. He had no time to work. As his work was the sunnah, his work was the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus days would go by, Abu Huraira would not have a bite to eat, and it is because of this hunger Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to faint. Those that could not stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day and night, they would take turns to attend the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to acquire this blessed knowledge. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, كنت أنا وجار لي من الأنصار في بني أمية بن زيد كنا نتناوب النزول على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينزل يوما وأنزل يوما. In the race that me and my Ansari companion, and I from Bani Umayyah ibn Zayd, we would take turns to attend the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day he would attend whilst I would take care of the work. And on the second day, I would attend the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst my companion would take care of the work. فَإِذَا نَزَلْتُ جِئْتُهُ بِخَبْرِ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ مِنَ الْوَحْيِ وَغَيْرِهِ. On my turn, whatever verses were revealed, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said or did, I would come and teach my Ansari companion. وَإِذَا نَزَلْ فَعَلَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Or my companion said, he would do exactly the same. So much love they had for the sunnah and for this ilm, for this knowledge. They even took their children to the gatherings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that their children are not deprived of this blessed knowledge. Mahmud ibn Rabi' relates, أَقَلْتُ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَجَّةً مَجَّهَا فِي وَجْهِ وَأَنَا إِبْنُ خَمْسِ سَنِينَ مِنْ دَلْوِنْ. Mahmud ibn Rabi' relates that I still remember my parents took me to the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was 5 years old. I still remember that at that age, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took water from a bucket. He put it inside his mouth and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for barakah threw that water on my face. The women of the time were very special women. The women seeing that these men will surpass them in acquiring this blessed knowledge, they complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, غَلَبَنَا عَلَيْكَ الرِّجَالِ. Ya Rasulullah, the men always take your time. The men are always with you. We cannot get to you. Ya Rasulullah, فَاجْعَلْ لَنَا يَوْمًا مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Fix a day for us in which we can come and learn your sunnah, in which we can learn the hadith, and in which we can learn the Quran. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fixed the day for them in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would only teach the women the Quran, in which he would teach them the sunnah, his sunnah, and in which he would teach them the hadith. Those that didn't live in Madinatul Munawwara would travel hundreds and thousands of miles just to listen to the beloved words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uqbah ibn al-Harith narrates, أَنَّهُ تَزَوَّجَ إِبْنَةً لِعِبِيهَا. That he married the daughter of Abu Hiyab. A woman came to him and said, إِنِّي كَدَرْضَعْتُ أُقْبَى وَالَّتِي تَزَوَّجَ بِهَا. That I've nursed you, O Uqba, and the woman that you have married. Uqba, surprised to hear this, said to the woman, مَا عَلَّمُ أَنَّكَ أَرْضَعْتِنِي وَلَا أَخْبَرْتِنِي. I didn't know that you nursed me, and you never informed me that you nursed me. My brothers and sisters, he left what he was doing, he left his town and rode out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hundreds of miles away to Madinah al-Munawwara to listen what the sunnah has to say in this respect. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, O Uqba, kayfa wa qad qeel, O Uqba, how can she remain your wife when it is said that she is your foster sister? It was not just the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een who sacrificed each and everything they possessed to acquire this knowledge. Those that came afterwards, the sacrifices they made, the successes of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, the sacrifices they made to acquire this knowledge is amazing. Abu Hatim al-Razi, a master of hadith at his time, he left his house before he had even reached the age of puberty to seek the knowledge of a hadith. He would stay away for years. For a short period he would return home. And then he would leave for years again. Abu Hatim al-Razi says, كَأَوَّلْ مَا رَحِلْتُ أَقَمْتُ سَبْعَ سَنِينَ. That the first time I left my home for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I continuously traveled for 7 years. A child that is still not reached the age of puberty. He says, I continuously traveled for 7 years. At the beginning, I counted the miles I had walked. He says, I kept on counting till I had walked 3,000 miles for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, after 3,000 miles, Abu Hatim forgot. He lost count. Thus Abu Hatim stopped counting thereafter. He himself would narrate, خَرَجْتُ مِنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ إِلَى مِصْر مَعْشِيًا. That I walked from Bahrain to Egypt. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَمَلَ مَاشِيًا. From Egypt I walked to Palestine for the sake of a hadith of Rasulullah. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ تَرْتُوسِ وَلِيَ عِشْرُونَ سَنَةً. And from Palestine I walked to Tartus. At the time I was only 20 years old. Imam Zahabi in Tazkirat al-Huffaz regarding the very same Abu Hatim relates that Abu Hatim says that in one of my journeys for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were three of us. When my companions and I disembarked the ship, we noticed that we have no food left. He says we walked 3 days continuously and we did not have a bite to eat. And this was for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says my companion fainted. After a few miles, I fainted. My third companion kept on walking till he finally saw a ship after a few miles. And it was those that were aboard the ship that came to help us. They would faint. They would go hungry. They would walk thousands of miles. But nothing would stop them because they didn't have blood flowing inside their veins. They had the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the love for this knowledge, and it is this that kept them going. Look at the nephew of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas says, كنت لآتي الرجل في الحديث يبلغني أنه سمع من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأجده قائلا فأتوسد ردائي على بابه تصفي ريح التراب على وجهي. He says, if I heard that somebody was relating a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I, Ibn Abbas, would present myself at that person's doorstep, at that person's house. And if I found that that person is taking a siesta, he is taking a nap, then I, Ibn Abbas, would sit down on his doorstep and I would wait for him and I would not disturb him. He says, the wind would blow dust on my face and my body, but I, Ibn Abbas, would remain there till this person, he himself, came out. When this person came out and he saw the nephew of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting on his doorstep, he would ask him, Ya ibn Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Malak, or the nephew of Rasulullah, tell me what need has brought you. Ibn Abbas would reply, I have been informed that you are relating a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, Ibn Abbas desired, فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أَسْمَعُ مِنْ Ibn Abbas desired to listen to this hadith directly from you. My brothers and sisters, when this person would see that the nephew of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is covered with dust, his clothes are covered with dust, his hair is covered with dust, he would say to the nephew of Rasulullah, هَلَّا بَأَثَّ إِلِيَّ حَتَّى آدِيَ Oh Ibn Abbas, only if you sent a messenger, only if you sent a message, then I would have come to you and I would have related this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to you. The nephew of Rasulullah sallam would reply, أَنَا حَقُّ لِأَلَيْكِ This is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Abbas, it was the right of Ibn Abbas to come to you and to take this hadith from you. The kings at the time had so much love for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the kings at the time would sit on the floor with common people to acquire this knowledge. Asim, who is one of the relatives of Bukhari, Imam Zahabi in Tazkirat al-Huffaz says that when he dictated hadith, sometimes over 100,000 people attended his hadith circles. And amongst the common people, the King Harun Rashid would be seen sitting on the floor on leaves of the palm tree writing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only did the king have so much love for this hadith, some of the kings were even huffaz of hadith, masters of hadith. It is reported that the king Mamun Rashid, when he was still a child, his father sent him to the muhaddith Abdullah ibn Idris to acquire the knowledge of hadith. His teacher Abdullah ibn Idris began to relate 100 hadith. He recited 100 hadith unto him. Mamun Rashid has just heard this hadith once for the first time. After his teacher has recited these 100 hadith, Mamun Rashid says to his teacher, Ya Am, ata'zan li an u'idaha min hifzi? Oh uncle, do you allow me to recite this hadith from my memory? Mamun Rashid recited the very same 100 hadith which he himself has just heard once without a single mistake. Every single thing they possessed, they sacrificed for the sake of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yahya ibn Ma'in was the master of hadith at his time. His father was a secretary of one of the governors. It is related that his father left 1,050,000 dirhams of that time for his son Yahya ibn Ma'in, thinking that Yahya will not need to work. Yahya will live in peace and comfort and luxury. خطيب بغدادي رليت فأنفقه كله على الحديث حتى لم يبق له نعل يلبسه. ده يحيى بن معين spent 1,050,000 درهم of that time, every single penny for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on hadith to the extent that this person was inherited so much, 1,050,000. A time has come when Yahya ibn Ma'in is walking on the streets barefooted because Yahya ibn Ma'in has no slippers to wear. Isa ibn Yunus was a master of hadith at his time. It is related that for three generations, hufaz of hadith, masters of hadith were born in his family. The wazir of Harun Rashid, Ja'far, came to him and offered 100,000 dirhams to him. Isa ibn Yunus refused and said, Isa ibn Yunus cannot live with this guilt that he took a penny in exchange for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the first factor which helped to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only did they sacrifice each and everything they possessed for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they acquired this blessed knowledge, they were very careful in relating the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowing that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Man kazaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maqadahu min an-nar." Whoever attributes a lie to me, then he should take his place in the fire of hell. The muhaddithin, the masters of a hadith, were very, very careful in relating the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is related that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he related the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned the beloved name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words are "Warta'ada," Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would begin to tremble. "Warta'ada siyabu," thus his clothes would begin to shake. "Tanfukhu awdajo," his veins would swell. "Waghrawrat aynahu," and his eyes would be full of tears. Such was the state of Abu Huraira that Shufayya narrates. He entered Medina, he visited Medina al-Munawwara. فَإِذَنْ هُوَ بِرَجُلٍ كَذِي سَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ. He saw a man whom around many men had gathered. He asked, "Who is this person?" They told him, "This is Abu Huraira." He said, فَدَنَوْتُ مِنْ حَتَّى قَالْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُوَ يُحَدِّثُ النَّاسَ. I walked and sat in front of him. He was reciting the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira was teaching the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, when he was all alone, when there was nobody around, I asked Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira narrated me a hadith which you directly heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which you thoroughly know and understood. Abu Huraira said to him, "La uhadithannaka hadithan haddathaniya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aqaltu wa alimtu." That I will definitely relate to a hadith which Abu Huraira directly heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Abu Huraira thoroughly knows and understands. The narrator says Abu Huraira was on the verge of relating this hadith when all of a sudden Abu Huraira heaved a sigh and Abu Huraira fainted. فَمَكَثْنَا قَلِيلًا. He says we waited for a short while till Abu Huraira gained conscious. When he was fully conscious, he said for the second time that I will definitely relate a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to you, which I heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this very house when there was nobody inside this house besides me and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator says for the second time Abu Huraira heaved a sigh and Abu Huraira fainted. Abu Huraira was not able to relate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet again we waited for a short while. Abu Huraira gained conscience, he mocked his face, and for a third time Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "لو حدثنك حديثا حدثني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أقلته وعلمته." Then I will definitely relate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Abu Huraira directly heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this very house when there was nobody inside the house besides Abu Huraira and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator says for a third time Abu Huraira was on the verge of narrating the hadith when yet again Abu Huraira heaved a sigh. Abu Huraira fainted. This time he was inclining towards one side. Abu Huraira was on the verge of falling flat on his face. He said, I held and supported Abu Huraira. I kept on supporting him for a long time till finally Abu Huraira gained conscience and finally Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated a hadith. They would keep on fainting because they feared كَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That whoever relates, whoever attributes a lie to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he should take his place in the fire of hell. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to teach the other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in a lesson in being very careful with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now and then he would ask the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in for proof before he accepted their narration. It is related that Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala anhu once visited Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh," from behind the door 3 times. On hearing no reply, Abu Musa al-Ashari returned. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent a message calling him. When he came, he asked, "Lima rajat?" "Abu Musa, tell me why you returned." Abu Musa related the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Iza sallama ahadakum thalathan falam yujab fal yarji." That once one of you have said salam 3 times and there is no answer, then he should return. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, "لتأتيني على ذلك بينة أو لا فعلن بك." "Abu Musa, you better prove it to me or I, Umar, will punish you." Abu Musa al-Ashri radiallahu ta'ala anhu returned to his companions. His companions, seeing that his face had turned pale, they asked him what's the matter. He related the incident and they said, "Do not worry, as we have all heard this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashri, "Ama inni lam ajtahink, لكنه الحديث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم." "Abu Musa, it is not that I didn't trust you or I thought you were lying, but it's a hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Umar is very careful and cautious when it comes to the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم." This is the first factor which helped to preserve the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The love the Sahaba and their successors had for the sunnah, for the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they sacrificed each and everything they possessed to acquire this blessed knowledge. The second factor which helped to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the teaching methods used by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach his sunnah. I'm sure you will agree, no matter how clever a teacher is, if the teacher does not know how to teach, if he does not know how to get a message across, then students cannot benefit from such a teacher. And if the students have not understood what the teacher has said, then it is virtually impossible to remember his teachings. Never mind preserve these teachings for years to come. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of all teachers, as he himself was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is his teaching methods that help to preserve the sunnah. As whoever attended the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not leave without understanding what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very mild approach, and he was very gentle with his students. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, بينما نحن في المسجد مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ جاء رابي فقام يبول في المسجد. We were inside the masjid with our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, when all of a sudden that somebody is dirtying the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is urinating the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, began to reproach him, began to tell him off. Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين, لا تزرموه, do not say anything to him. A person is dirtying the house of Allah, and the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the companions, "Hey, do not say anything to him. Let him finish." When he finished, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and said to him, "Inna hadhihi al-masajid la tasla'u li shay'in min hadha al-bawl wala al-kadhir. Innama hiya li dhikri Allah 'azza wa jalla wa salati wa qira'ati al-Quran." That this is a house of Allah. It is a special place. It is a very sacred place. It is a place only for certain things. It is a place to remember Allah. It is a place for salah. It is a place for worship. It is a place to recite the Quran. Thus, it is not permissible to dirty the house of Allah and do anything of that nature. Such the effect of this teaching was that companions like this never forgot the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the masajid. They never forgot whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. Another method our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used was that He would talk to everybody according to their level of understanding. And he would use the examples and language they understood. Abu Huraira relates كأن رجل من بني فزارة جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that once a man from Banu Fazara came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and said إن امرأتي ولدت غلاما أسود a messenger of Allah my wife has given birth but the child is black وإني أنكرته thus it doesn't seem to be mine and thus I deny that it's my child Subhanallah just listen to the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him a question هل لك من ابن do you have any camel Happy that the Messenger of Allah is asking a question regarding camels. He said, yes. O Messenger of Allah, I have many camels. Tell me you have camels. What color are your camels? He replied, O Messenger of Allah, my camels are red. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, هل فيها من عورك? Tell me you have these beautiful red camels. Is there a duski one amongst them? He replied, O Messenger of Allah, yes, there is a dusky one amongst them. Messenger of Allah asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have red camels. Where does this dusky one come from? فَأَنَّ أَتَاهَ ذَلِكَ All your camels are red, yet you have one dusky one. Where does it come from? He replied, O Messenger of Allah, it is possible that down the line, one of his grandparents were of that color. This is why it is dusky. Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him, similarly, it is possible that one of the grandparents of this child down the line was also of this color. Once a young man from the Quraysh came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اِذَنْ لِي فِي الزِّنَا O Messenger of Allah, let me commit adultery. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an majma'in all present, when they heard that this person is asking the Prophet of Allah permission to commit a major sin when the Prophet of Allah has been sent to prohibit people from committing sins, they began to tell him off, reproach him. Hey, what are you doing? Asking the Nabi of Allah to commit sin? Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him, made him sat close to him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, أَتُحِبَّهُ لِأُمِّهِ You've asked to commit this sin. You've asked to commit this act. If it is a good act, would you like it for your mother? He replied, لا والله. O Messenger of Allah, no. I would not like it for my mother. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, وَلَا النَّاسُ يُحِبُّونَهُ لِأُمَّهَتِهِ Nor do people like it for their mothers. Tell me, if it is a good act and you want permission, أَتُحِبُّهُ لِبِنْتِكَ Would you like the same thing for your daughter? If somebody came and asked for permission for your daughter to do the same act? Yet again he replied, لَا وَاللَّهِ He understood straight away. O Messenger of Allah, by Allah, no, I wouldn't like it for my daughter. Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَلْنَّاسُ يُحِبُّونَهُ لِبَنَاتِهِ And nor do people like it for their daughters. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him. اللهم اغفر ذنبه وطهر قلبه وحسن فرجه هو الله forgive his sin and purify his heart. The narrator says that this young man never ever turned to sin from that day. Such were the teaching methods of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That different delegations would come and he would speak to them in the language they understood. He would speak to them in their dialect. The Ash'ariyin, in place of the lam, would pronounce the mean. When they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah, to make sure that they have understood his teachings, what he has said, in place of the lam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pronounce the mean. He would not pester the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een with religious talk all the time. He was very selective. He would choose suitable times, times in which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were receptive, times in which they were fresh. And when he spoke to them, he would speak slowly, he would speak clearly, and he would speak loudly, that if somebody wanted to count the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would be able to do so. And if the need occurred, he would repeat the difficult bits more than once. Such were his teaching methods, that whoever attended the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not leave without understanding what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. If you study these teaching methods, my brothers and sisters, you will find that the modern day PGCE or the teacher training course has been taken from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the second factor which helps to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in sacrificed each and everything they had to possess, to acquire this knowledge. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught them in such a way that they did not leave the gathering without understanding. However, three methods were used to actually preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first method was al-hifz, memorization. The second, al-ta'amud, acting upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, bringing the sunnah in every aspect of daily life. And the third was al-kitaba, that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thousands of hadith were written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I mentioned last week that these were the very same methods used to preserve the Quran. The first, al-hifz, memorization. The Arabs were gifted with superb memory power. Many authors have written, كَمَذْهَبُ الْأَرَبِ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مَذْبُوعِينَ أَلَى الْحِفْزِ مَخْصُوصِينَ بِذَلِكَ, that the Arabs were naturally gifted in this respect. Even a Bedouin, he would joke and say, كَحَرْفٌ فِي تَامُورِكَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عَشَرَ فِي كُتُبِكَ, that a word inside your heart is better than 10 written and preserved inside your book. لَيْسَ بِعِلْمٍ مَا حَوَى الْقَنْتَرَ مَا الْعِلْمُ إِلَّا مَا حَوَى الصَّدْرَ, that is not knowledge which is written and preserved inside books. Knowledge is that which is inside the head, which is inside the heart, which is inside the memory, which is memorized. Hafiz Umar ibn Abd al-Barr writes, كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ يَحْفَظُ أَشْعَارَ بَعْضٍ فِي سَمَةٍ وَاحِدًا, that many of them would remember the poetry of others by just listening to it once. It is related that the great poet Umar ibn Rabi'a once recited a very, very long poem made up of 70 long verses. After he left, those that were present began to have a conversation, began to discuss one of the verses. Ibn Abbas recited that particular verse for them. The audience was amazed. They were amazed. And they asked, "Oh, Ibn Abbas, did you manage to remember this verse though you have just heard this poem once?" Ibn Abbas replied, "If you wish, then I will recite the whole poem for you." He recited the whole poem which he himself has just listened to once, a poem of made up of 70 long verses without a single mistake. My brothers and sisters, such was their memory that Marwan, the governor of Medina, once tried to test Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu's memory. He invited Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asked Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu to narrate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, he ordered his scribe to sit behind the curtain and write the hadith which Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates. Write down the words of the hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates. Abu Huraira had no knowledge that Marwan's scribe was sitting behind the curtain. Abu Huraira related many, many hundreds of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst his scribe behind the curtain wrote down the hadith, wrote down the words of a hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated. A year passed. Marwan invited Abu Huraira for a second time. Yet again, he ordered his scribe to sit behind the curtain. But this time, to compare the present words, the words that Abu Huraira narrates now, with the words that Abu Huraira narrated a year ago. He asked Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu to narrate the very same hadith that Abu Huraira has related a year ago. It has been a year, Abu Hurairah related every single hadith that he related a year ago. His scribe was sitting behind the curtain comparing the present words of the hadith with the words Abu Hurairah related last year. His scribe says, I compared the words of a hadith and I found that Abu Hurairah did not leave a single word and Abu Hurairah did not add a single word. Though a year had passed, Hafiz Abu Zur'a, a master of hadith at his time, he used to claim, إِنَّ فِي بَيْتِ مَا كَتَبْتُهُ مُنْزُ أَخَمْسِينَ سَنَةً وَلَمْ أُطَالِئُ مُنْزُ كَتَبْتُهُ. That it's been 50 years since I wrote the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's been 50 years since I opened these books of hadith. I have never looked inside these books of hadith since the day I wrote these hadith. وَإِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ فِي أَيِّ كِتَابٍ هُوَ فِي أَيِّ وَرَقَةٍ هُوَ فِي أَيِّ صَفْحٍ هُوَ فِي أَيِّ صَدْرٍ هُوَ. But Abu Zur'a today is still in a position that if Abu Zur'a was questioned regarding a certain hadith, Abu Zur'a would be able to tell you the book that hadith is in, the volume number that hadith is in, the page number that hadith is on, and even the line number that hadith is on. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri's memory was such that Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri never forgot anything that ever entered his ears. It is related that Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri used to say, إِنِّي لَأَمُرُّ بِالْبَطِي فَأَسَدُّ آذَانِي مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْخَنَاءِ. Wallahi, that when I walk past Jannat al-Baqi, I put my fingers inside my ears, fearing that idle talk may enter my ears. Thus Ibn Shihab may not forget this idle talk. Wallahi, مَا دَخَلَ أُذَنِيَ شَيْءٍ قَطُّ فَنَسِيتُهُ. Whatever I have heard, I have never forgot it. Whatever has entered my ears, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri has never forgot this thing. Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi used to say, أَصْرَبُ ثَلَاثِينَ أَلْفَ حَدِيثٍ وَلَا فَخْرًا. That I can recite in one sitting 30,000 hadith from my memory, وَلَا فَخْرًا. And this is nothing to be proud of, this is nothing big. Qatada, when he acquired a great amount of knowledge from the Shuyukh of Basra, from the masters of Basra, he went to Madinatul Munawwara to Sa'id ibn Musayyib to acquire more knowledge. He kept on firing questions to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib one after the other. Sa'id, seeing that he is a guest, kept on answering his questions for days. When weeks passed, Sa'id saw that this guest of his has exceeded the limit. That he's questioning. Sa'id asked in an angrily tone, have you remembered what I have taught you over these past weeks? Sa'id wanted to know whether he's remembered what he has been taught over these past weeks, or whether he was just questioning for the sake of questioning. Qatada very humbly replied that I have remembered everything. Qatada was blind. This means that Qatada didn't write anything. Whatever Qatada had heard over these weeks, Qatada had just heard once. And he had remembered everything over these weeks which he had just heard once. Qatada related every question that he had asked Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib over this period of time. He related every answer that Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib gave him over this period of time. He related every answer any one of his other teachers gave him regarding the very same question. He said to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, سألتك أن كذا. That the first question I asked you was regarding this. He would relate the question. فقلت فيه كذا. The answer you gave me was this, and he would relate the answer. He would say, سَأَلْتُكَ أَنْ كَذَا. The second question I asked was this. He would relate the question. He would say, this is the answer you gave me, and he would relate the answer. He would say, my teacher Hassan al-Basri gave me this answer regarding the very same question, and he would relate the answer. Every single question that Qatada asked, every answer that Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib gave him, every answer any one of his teachers had given him regarding the very same answers, Qatada related. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, who himself was a master of hadith and an extraordinary man, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib says to Qatada, That I do not think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created anybody like you. Oh blind one, go home. You have rinsed me. You have taken my knowledge. Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib has nothing left to give you. And it was this memory power the Sahaba and the successors utilized to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Abu Hurairah. In spite of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ilman la yunsa, knowledge that is not forgotten. In spite of his prayer being answered, my brothers and sisters, he had divided his night into three parts. جزأت الليل ثلاثة أجزاء ثلثا أصلي وثلثا أنام وثلثا أذكر في حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. In one third of the night he would stand in prayer, in one third of the night he would sleep, and in one third of the night he would memorize the hadith of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the first method they used to preserve the hadith of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The second method they used to preserve the hadith of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was الدعام. Acting upon the hadith, acting upon the sunnah, trying their utmost best to bring the sunnah in every aspect of daily life. And I give you many examples in the talk on the Sahaba, how the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were willing to sacrifice their life, their wealth, but they were not prepared to leave the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Umama relates that once a kurta of Qadi was presented to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A colorless shirt. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu took the kurta, he wore the kurta reciting, Alhamdulillahi alladhi kasani ma huwari bihi awrati wa atajammalu bihi fi hayati. All praise to Allah who has given me this kurta to wear, to cover my body and to decorate my life. He turned to the people and asked the people, Hal tadruna lima kultu hawla'il kalimat? O people, do you know why Umar recited these words? La illa an tukhbirna. Umar, tell us why you recited these words. Umar replied, فَإِنِّي شَهِدْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأُوْتِيَ بِثِيَابٍ لَهُ جُدَدْ فَلَبِتَهَا ثُمَّا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي كَسَانِي مَا أُوَارِ بِهِ أَوْرَتِي وَأَتَجَمُلُ بِهِ فِي حَيَاتِي. Umar has recited these words today because once a new garment was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Umar's presence, the beloved Nabi took this garment and he wore this garment reciting the words Alhamdulillahi alladhi kasani ma awari bihi awrati wa atajammalu bihi fi hayati. Today Umar has been given a chance to act upon this practice, to act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is because of this Umar today has recited these words Alhamdulillahi alladhi kasani ma awari bihi awrati wa atajammalu bihi fi hayati. This is ta'am. Learn the sunnah, observe the sunnah, act upon the sunnah, and teach others the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator says, when Umar wore this kurta, he found that the sleeves of his kurta were longer than his fingers. He asked his son to measure the extra portion and cut it off. His son says, I measured the extra portion and cut it, but I failed to cut both sleeves equally. Hence I submitted, O father, it would be better that I make both the sleeves equally using scissors. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu yet replied, O my son, leave it. Hakaza ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yafal. As Umar has seen the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wearing one such kurta. This is the arm. He would address the Hajr al-Aswad and he would say, Wallahi, inni la'a'lamu annaka hajar, la tudurru wa la tanfa' wa lawla anni ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuqabbiluk ma qabbaltuk. Wallahi, I know that you are stone, you cannot benefit and you cannot harm. But if I did not see the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kiss you, O Hajr al-Aswad, then I, Umar, would not have kissed you, my brothers and sisters. Then he would walk to the Hajr al-Aswad and he would kiss it. He would say, wama lana wa ramad. What are we to do with Ramad? A tawaf is made up of 7 rounds around the Kaaba. In the first 3 rounds, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the Sahaba to walk quickly with vanity to show the mushrikeen, the non-believers, that they are not weak. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, وَمَا لَنَا وَالرَّمَدْ. What are we to do with Ramad now? إِنَّمَا كُنَّا رَاعِينَ بِهِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. We used to do this at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show the mushrikeen we are not weak. But Allah has taken care of the non-believers. Allah has taken care of the mushrikeen. Then he would think and say, شَيْءٌ صَنَعُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ فَلَا نُحِبُّ أَنْ نَتْرُكَ. Because it is a practice the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did, because it is a sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then Umar will not leave this sunnah. His son Ibn Umar, it is related, أنه كان يأتي بين مكة شجرة بين مكة والمدينة فيقيل تحتها. That every afternoon he would come to a certain tree between Makkah and Medina. The people would say, Ibn Umar, why do you come all this way when there are many trees in Medina al-Munawwara? Why do you come all this way in the afternoon and take rest under this tree when there are many trees in Medina al-Munawwara? Ibn Umar would reply, ويخبر أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يفعل ذلك. That Ibn Umar comes to this particular tree because the Nabi of Allah, the Prophet of Allah, would come to this particular tree and he would take a nap under this tree, and it is because of this Ibn Umar chooses and comes under this tree and sleeps under this tree. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated the hadith, لا يجد العبد حلاوة الإيمان حتى يؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره حلوه ومره, that a person will not taste the sweetness of iman till he brings faith on it, till he brings iman on faith, it's good and it's bad. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held his beard like this and said, آمنت بالقدر خيره وشره حلوه ومره, that I Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bring iman on faith, it's good and bad. Every narrator who narrated this hadith, after narrating this hadith following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, held his beard like this and said, آمنت بالقدر خيره وشره حلوه ومره, that I believe in faith, it's good and it's bad. The Sahaba was so enthusiastic in acting upon the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they tried their utmost best to even copy Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personal habits. Urwa relates that when Muawiyah ibn Qurra and his son made bay'ah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they made bay'ah in such a state that they saw our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's shirt button open. Urwa says, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَاوِيَةَ وَلَا إِبْنَهُ قَتُّ فِي شِتَاءٍ وَلَا سَيْفٍ إِلَّا مُتْرَكَ الْأَدْرَارِ, because Muawiyah and his child had observed our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the state that his shirt buttons were open. He says, because of this, I never saw Muawiyah or his child after that day, whether it be winter or whether it be summer, but I found that their shirt buttons were open because they had observed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this state. And this is the second method which helped to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was used to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The final method used to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was al-kitaba, that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were written. Thousands of hadith were written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it should be remembered that in the early days of prophethood, our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited some sahaba from writing anything besides the Quran. It is related that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تكتبوا عني, do not write whatever you hear from me. وَمَنْ كَتَبَ عَنِّي غَيْرَ الْقُرْآنِ فَلْيَمْحُهُ, whoever has written anything besides the Quran, then he should rub it. However, حَدِّثُوا عَنِّي وَلَا حَرَجْ, relate my hadith orally. It should be remembered that this prohibition at the beginning of prophethood was not because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no authority value. As in the very same hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam orders the believers to relate the hadith orally. If the hadith had no authority value, then our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the same time would have ordered the sahaba, okay, do not relate my hadith orally. But because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do this, he prohibited them from writing, but he ordered them to relate the hadith orally. This shows that the reason for prohibition was not because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no authoritative value. The reason was other than this. And when we look at the history, we find that the reason was that at the beginning of prophethood, in the early days when the Quran was revealed, some sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in were not familiar with the Quranic style. Thus, with the verses of the Quran, they wrote the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With the verses of the Quran, some of them also wrote some of the meanings of the Quran given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, fearing that this may lead to confusion between the Quran and the hadith, fearing that people might not be able to differentiate between the Quran and the hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the sahaba in these circumstances and in this background to write nothing besides the Quran. However, this was at the beginning of prophethood. After a very short period, once the sahaba were used to the Quranic style, and it was no longer feared that this will lead to confusion, that the people will not be able to differentiate between the Quran and Sunnah, when this was no longer feared, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself ordered the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in to write the hadith. قَيِّدُ الْعِلْمَ بِالْكِتَابِ, preserve the knowledge by writing it. Write the knowledge of a hadith. Preserve the knowledge of a hadith by writing it. إِسْتَعِمْ بِيَمِينِكِ, seek help from your right hand. وَأُوْمَأَ بِيَدِّي لَخَسِينَ, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed out to writing. أُكْتُبُ وَلَا حَرَجْ, write down my hadith and there is no harm in writing it. My brothers and sisters, and it is because of this, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in began to write the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Amr al-A'am says, كُنْتُ أَكْتُبُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَسْمَعُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that I would write every single thing that I heard from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Quraysh found out that I write everything, ده قريش تتمي أتكتب كل شيء تسمع من رسول الله وإنما هو بشر يغضب كما يغضب البشر وعبد الله Jew write everything though our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is a human being he may become angry just like any other human being meaning that our Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم in a state of anger may say something that he did not intend so one should be very careful very selective in the hadith he writes my brothers and sisters he went to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and informed Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم of what the Quraysh said Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Abdullah ibn Amr oh Abdullah ibn Amr nothing comes out from these lips besides truth faktub so do right the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered the Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم اجمعين to write the hadith to preserve them and he himself had many hadith written for other companions in the battle in the conquest of Makkah The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a very detailed sermon. And after the sermon, a Yemenite named Abu Shah came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, give me the sermon in written form. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Uktubu li Abi Shah, write the sermon for Abu Shah. Thousands of hadith had been written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just one companion, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, had written over 5,375 hadith. Abu Huraira narrates, ما من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحد أكثر حديثا عنه مني إلا ما كان من عبد الله بن عمر فإنه كان يكتب ولا أكتب that nobody had more hadith than me except for Abdullah as Abdullah used to write all the time while I did not write all the time from this hadith it is clear that the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr numbered more than the hadith Abu Huraira When we look at the books of the hadith, we find that Abu Huraira has narrated 5,374. Thus, it is clear that the hadith Abdullah ibn Amr had written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were at least 5,375. This was the third method used to preserve the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, this method was used less in comparison to the first two. Not less in generally, as I mentioned, thousands of hadith were written at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but less in comparison to the first two, due to a few reasons. A, because it was forbidden to write hadith at the beginning of prophethood, fearing that this may lead to confusion. People might not be able to differentiate between the Quran and Sunnah. Secondly, some of the Sahaba feared that if the hadith were written, people will no longer make effort to memorize the hadith, though our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has said, نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ إِبْرًا سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَحَفِدَ وَأَجَّهَا كَمَا سَمِعَ They also feared that if the written hadith fell in the wrong hands, the hands of the ignorant may begin to relate the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم without understanding. And at the same time, the Arabs were blessed with extraordinary memory power, thus there was no need to write the hadith of Rasulullah They were not in need of this method as much as the first two methods. This is why the hadith of the third method was used less in comparison to the first two. And this is how the hadith remained at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Abu Bakr, at the time of Hazrat Umar, at the time of Hazrat Ali, and at the time of Hazrat Uthman. During the four khalifs. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the four khalifs had not been compiled officially on government level. Why? Because there was no need. The Sahaba was still alive. They knew the Sunnah, the Hadith better than they knew their parents. They were the living Sunnah. Secondly, as I've mentioned, thousands of Hadith were written. The Hadith had been written on an individual basis. Thus, there was no need to compile it officially on government level. Thirdly, during the four Khulafa, because many lands had been conquered, thousands, hundreds and thousands of non-Arabs had entered Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was fearing that if the Sunnah was compiled officially on government level, people and these books then passed on to the Islamic world. People may, these non-new Muslims may take these books and begin to concentrate on these books and leave the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided that the Sunnah should not be compiled officially on government level. It was at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, to the end of the first century, Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz ordered that the Sunnah should be compiled officially on government level due to a few reasons. A, because the Shiites and Kharijites began to fabricate hadith. Let me very briefly explain. After the Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred, Hazrat Uthman became Khalif. His reign lasted for 12 years. At the beginning, everybody was happy with Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But towards the end of his reign, a few people began to hate Hazrat Uthman on the grounds that they claim that Hazrat Uthman only gives government positions to his relations. This led to the death of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Uthman was martyred inside his house. After Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali became Khalif. When Hazrat Ali became Khalif, Hazrat Muawiyah was in Sham. And he said to Hazrat Ali that he will not make bayah with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu till Hazrat Ali punishes and finds out who killed Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The difference between Ali and Muawiyah led to the Battle of Siffin, in which many Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in died. The believers had now become four groups. General believers, two, those that were in favor of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Shiites. Three, those that were in favor of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And four, the Kharijites that were nor in favor of Ali and nor in favor of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Now, the result of these different groups within the Muslim world, many battles, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's martyrdom. It is here that these different groups, for political reasons, began to fabricate hadith. How the ulama tackled this problem of fabricating hadith is a talk in itself. But what we should remember, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the reason he ordered that the Sunnah should be compiled officially on government level is because the Kharijites and the Shiites began to fabricate hadith. The second reason why he decided to compile the Sunnah officially on government level is that seeing that the Sahaba, because of passing of time and battles, had died, many Sahaba had died, fearing the loss of knowledge, Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz ordered that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be compiled. Imam Bukhari relates that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz ordered Abu Bakr ibn Hazm ke unzur ma kana min hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faktubhu, that look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and compile the hadith officially on government level. فَإِنِّي خِفْتُ دُرُوسُ الْعِلْمِ وَذِهَابُ الْعُلَمَاءِ, I fear the loss of knowledge, that religious knowledge will vanish, the scholars may die, however do not write anything besides the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, circulate the knowledge and teach the ignorant. As فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ لَا يَحْلِكُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ سِرًا, as knowledge only vanishes when it is kept secretly. My brothers and sisters, the result of this official decree was that many books were written and prepared and were spread over the Islamic world. How these books were prepared, were they prepared subject-wise or not, how the books were prepared in the second and third century, this is a talk in itself. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.